We are the same. I get the same degree. I have the same, like a big car, for example. Yeah. So, what you need to work on, in addition to mudita, is, you know, to look at that competitive mind. Competition is something people use very widely to motivate themselves. I have been arguing recently, for the last 2 or 3 years, that competition has a lot of side effects. We should never compete. There are things that we cannot avoid, okay, from competing, because the world's resources are limited and we have to compete for them. But a lot of times we compete unnecessarily. I have been going around to teaching monastery to tell students and also their teacher not to compete. They use competition as motivation to make the students work, to motivate them. I said, that's dangerous. If two very good students, they compete, they see each other as a threat, and they work very hard. And if they become two cabinet ministers in the government, they still compete. Now, it's very dangerous. Between competitors, there is no collaboration. There is no cooperation. All they do is they want to prove each other's wrong. They want to prove that they are better. So that competitive mind, or that competitive mindset, is deeply rooted in this country, or in many countries in the world. In my talks, in a few of my lectures, I have cited education from Denmark. No competition. The results, they don't rank you 1, 2, 3, 4, no. Even in England, other people don't know your results. They don't want you to compete. Yeah. This is one thing that you need to take care of yourself. If you compare yourself with other people all the time, Western psychology, some people, not all of them, would say that that's a good thing, because when you win, that gives you self-confidence. But I think that's very dangerous. It has a lot of side effects. So instead of competition, we can use compassion, karuna, to motivate ourselves, like Bodhisattva, like the Buddha. A lot of suffering in this world, okay, if we feel the pain of those people and we want to be part of their solution, and we work hard in what we do, if motivation comes from this, then we don't need to compete with anyone. We will still be the best, among the best. So that's one thing that I want you to focus on. Now, mudita will help you to diagnose your anxiety that you had before, and it remains dormant in your deep down in your subconscious mind. And also regret. You see? Regret. We can always think about what we don't have and regret. Mudita is to change that mindset and to focus on what we have, because we have enough. and everyone of us are doing, you know, very well in our own way. So if we can redirect our mind, if we can change that default position in our brain, in our mind, now, in terms of the brain, from the amygdala at the back, the prefrontal cortex will start working. As much as the position of the mind, the habit of the mind. If you do this, you can rejoice in the completion of Silakanda. Now you don't think about the completion of Silakanda, you only think about the failure of Atthasalini and Parajikakanda. You see? You have two choices to think about the failure and the success. You have both. Nando Bhasa. The third one is a compassion karuna mudita, what you want to say.
Like
I know the compassion or joy. Okay. The first question, why I focus on compassion. A few reasons. One is, in this country we practice Brahma-vihara, but about 95% of the people, they stop at metta. They never go through karuna and mudita, far less upekkha. That is why we have a lot of misperception about upekkha. In 2015, I gave a long talk on misunderstanding of upekkha in this country. Not just this country, but also in Thailand and also in Sri Lanka. I feel because we start with metta and we don't get to karuna. So I want to encourage people to do that. I want to bring to their attention the importance of karuna. Karuna, in that sense, in terms of focus, is narrower, is more specific. It works only on pain, on unpleasant experiences. Dukkha ayo. It works on that. But just to work on that and develop our mind without intention to take some action to solve problem is not karuna. So what we usually say, the navare, oh, I feel compassion, I feel, you know, his pain, her pain. That much is not compassion. In the Atthasalini, para dukkha panayana kara bhavati lakana. Para dukkha, other people's pain, apanayana, to remove it. You know, unless there is a clear intention to remove other people's pain, karuna. When we disagree something in this country, we get angry with each other easily, we fought with each other easily, we stop talking to each other, we stop cooperating with each other easily. I see this as a problem of anger management. But when somebody gets angry with you and stops working with you, if you behave the same, even if you don't get angry, if you stop working with that person, then you also have the same problem, the same EQ problem. You sustain that tension. Okay. I mean, how to develop this country, not this country, it may be Thailand, it may be Malaysia, it may be England, you know, after Brexit, it may be America. When we disagree with each other, our focus is fixed on the people we disagree with. We become fixated with the people who annoy us. And we lose our focus. Our focus should be dukkha, should be suffering, should be problem. If we focus on the problem of this country, the problem that Buddha Sasana faces, the problem that Bharati Sasana faces, then we would be thinking about problem, trying to fix the problem. This is how compassion becomes our motivation. Otherwise, okay, we can get fed up and give up things easily. So I want people to be more resilient. And of course, another thing is that I believe what people do when they practice metta, most people practice metta, they recite a certain formula. That's for people who achieve high samadhi, the level of jhana. That works for them. But for people who have no working level of samadhi, that formula wouldn't work for them. They would still get angry with the people who disagree with them like that. So I find compassion more practical. And I have been trying to apply this to soldier, to medical professionals, for engineers, for office workers, for teachers, for monks, using compassion as motivation. Because Karuna helps us to stay connected with dukkha. So from that sense, it helps us to stay connected with the three characteristics. We work on dukkha if we develop karuna. We want to reduce the impact of dukkha. At least we want people to suffer less. That's karuna. Okay, the Buddha taught four Brahma Viharas. And why I choose only Karuna? I think by working on Karuna, a certain portion of metta is included. Especially if that metta focuses on dukkha. For the part of metta that focuses on sukha, mudita, we have to take care of it. So in my understanding, roughly, karuna and mudita, they are branches of metta. Metta is wider than that. Metta has a lot of qualities. But for many people, it's too abstract. Hidupakarapavati, meaning to wish for the welfare, to have other people's welfare in your mind, and think and speak and act that way. That's metta. It's too abstract for many people. Too abstract. So this is one. Your second question, if you want to remind me. Okay, this technique. This technique, I usually introduce basic satipatthana first. Basic satipatthana, especially citta nipassana, to get to know our emotional reaction. So like today, we do mudita, and we use mudita as diagnosis. We can use karuna as diagnosis as well. Yeah. Abhidhamma would say karuna can replace dosa, or is antidote of dosa. Mudita is antidote of lobha. This one depends on the level of our samadhi, our understanding. If our understanding of dukkha is so individualized, so much self-centered, maybe we will achieve only samadhi, you know. We achieve only samadhi. I mentioned earlier the gentleman, the station master from KL. 20 minutes, his mind never wandered. He's a person who is afraid of meditation. For 20 minutes, his mind doesn't wander. Stay totally focused on the subject. So, when we do karuna, I think we focus mainly on dukkha. We are working on dukkha satya. I like to think satipatthana is part of this, and dukkha nupassana is part of this, and so karuna is part of this. Sometimes I question the way people consider Brahma-vihara as purely samatha, with only panyati as their object, and not leading us to enlightenment. Dittinja, dittanja anupakama silava dasaninasa. By working on karuna, by working on dukkha, if I work on my pain, my disappointment, I'm very similar to Vanuvichitta. I did the jadiha. I really wanted to do this, to pass this. I said for 1 year, I have 6 more years to do. A lot of time. But then my health didn't allow me to do. And I stopped. So sometimes I dream about this. Sometimes I still dream about this. When I focus on my regret and my disappointment, if I work on myself with karuna, then I relate to Vanuvijita's karuna. I relate to every one of your disappointment. Then self-centeredness is lessened and lessened. You see? Self-centered. The fear that helps us to identify regret as me, as mine, becomes less and less. In my understanding, if I can connect with the disappointment of someone who has hurt me, or someone who doesn't like me, then I think we can look at disappointment and see ne dang mama ne so hamasmi na me so atta. Not just me. It's not me. Just cause and effect. I don't really need to use my past to define myself anymore. I can liberate myself then. Dittanja anupakama silava dasanina sambandha. This is Sotapanna. Brahma-vihara, following Brahma-vihara. Kamesu vinaya gedam nahi jadu kabasya bun. This is anagami. This is what we chant every day here, is the very words of the Buddha. And I really believe in that. But some people have a twist in that. You know, you have to work on vipassana. This one alone is not enough. They would say that. Actually, the Buddha has already included vipassana in the Metta Sutta. When he say, "Evang pi sabba buddhesu," reach out to everyone, to the whole world, using your pain to reach out to all of them. Using your joy, your success, to reach out to all of them, the whole world. Abhirmana. I think there is a lot of spiritual achievement in that. I think the last question is ethical question. Ethical question. Someone who got rich unethically, and should we feel mudita for this person? We need to be clear. This is the reason why karuna and mudita are separate. There are certain parts that we need to feel his pain. That person, okay, in our eye, he may be enjoying himself because he has a nice car, because he sent his children to top university using. If they come towards me here, you know, they would explode because of the pain inside, because of the suffering inside. Guilt is in subconscious mind. We can never reason, use our reasoning to overcome guilt. Yeah. Just reason alone, it wouldn't do. So for that reason, we need to feel that pain, compassion. I think I know quite a few people in that category, not just in this country, but also in other countries. They try very hard to fit in. They would use their wealth, you know, they would try to establish connection so that people accept them. I see that as suffering. So I have a lot of karuna, a lot of compassion for them. For people who don't have money, they think people who have money, they have no suffering. Again, that's, you know, an artificial understanding of suffering. So then, should we do mudita for them? You can find if they are healthy, you can do mudita for them. If they are, if their family is intact, you can feel happy with them. If you have some qualm, okay, some doubt about their wealth, forget about it. But in my case, I would do okay. Early in the morning, they can feed themselves. Okay, wherever they want to go, they can. Tiring themselves walking. And for that reason, okay, I can feel compassion for them.
Because
Usually I introduce Karuna first. And there's a reason why the Buddha focuses almost entirely on dukkha. So given that as the default position in the Buddhist teaching, we can say Karuna is more relevant, especially in the case that you raised. First, I want to put this to you for your own thought, first theoretically. I do this practice for 7 days, for 10 days, like this, in a retreat. And with people who have done, you know, other types of meditation. And they discover something in themselves. When they work on compassion, work on pain in themselves, in other people, finally in the people who have nothing to do with them, or in the people who hate them, who cause them pain, when they can do that, they have already subdued their anger to a certain extent. They are quick to identify their emotional reaction at that point. I would give them a challenge to do that. In the topic, in the subject, in the issue they work for Karuna, I would ask them to find mudita, theoretically, then practically. In the same way, somebody who is very strong in mudita rather than Karuna, there are people like that. Then the same thing, okay, the same thing. Now, I have this microphone and I can be joined for using this microphone. You can all hear me, I can be heard. This is mudita. But the same issue, I can do Karuna. The fact that I need this microphone is Karuna. So I would challenge that way. If we can do that, one issue, we can do both Karuna and mudita, then this practice is strong. Some tiny thing that the person, okay, there's a lot of suffering inside, but the fact that he can still walk one step, the fact that he can still breathe, there is still hope. That sort of thing. It's the kind of determination that good physicians, good surgeons would have, that they would not give up. That people can still be happy. If we look at how suffering is so overwhelming in someone's life, when we don't have mudita, that karuna can turn into mercy killing. I have come across a close friend, a family in Cambridge, in England. And they recommended for that mother, okay, like euthanasia. And for me, after I have criticized them, I faced the same situation with my mother, who had cirrhosis. The pain only increased, never decreased. The good thing that because we have mudita means believing in the strength of someone. Every day I would chant the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta with her. And she had been to maybe about 20 10 days meditation retreat with Mingun. So she knew how to work on pain. And I would meditate with her. But, you know, from time to time, you know, she experienced the huge anxiety, not knowing. And my niece, you know, three of us taking care of, we couldn't tell her. But the thing is that we value the days that she had, the few days, the few weeks that she had. This comes from mudita. So we would meditate every day, and I would make sure, because she's very fond. She was very fond of generosity, giving things to monks, to nuns like that. I would ensure that she could do that every day, and then family member would share the meditation. This is the way she was brought up. We did that, and the doctors from Thailand, and devotee from Singapore, and the devotee from England, they sent morphine, including pad, morphine pad, and tablets. My mother never asked for it, and my sister, seeing her struggling with pain, gave her once, and she became dizzy for 3 days, and she asked my sister, what medicine you gave me that made me feel dizzy? Or that yellow color medicine, yellow color, just we talk about the color. Never give me that medicine again. We meditated with her, and we helped her to do things. So she never took morphine again. She never took morphine again. This is to go through pain with meditation, with the love of the family. And we also use everything, including massage, and to block some nerves. Yeah. It works then, first it worked maybe for 10 hours, then 8 hours, then 6, then 4, then 2, then no more. Like that. Whatever happened, she was able to work on that pain. As the pain increased, her concentration increased. She couldn't open her eyes anymore, and she couldn't raise her hand anymore. But when the time came, like 3 p.m., like that, there would be the time the monks, maybe 4 or 5 monks, would come and chant Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. She would raise her hand and point it near her bed to signal my sister to prepare the seat for the monks. You see? And someone came and asked her, okay, Grandma, do you want to do anything? What can we do for you? That meant her last wish. And she said that she had been to Buddha Gaya with me twice, each time staying for 1 month, meditating there. And she has done everything that she wanted to do. That a sense of mudita. Sense of mudita. But one thing that she wanted to do, she wanted to offer lunch in all the 5 monasteries that I have been trained. And the family arranged for that, and my elder sister informed one of my younger sister who was with her, okay, Mother, we are about to offer food to the monk. Actually, at that time, she couldn't raise her hand anymore. For some reason, she managed, or she mastered her strength, and she hold her her hand, both hand on her forehead for 1 hour, visualizing that the monks were eating her meal. And so this is a belief that thing can still be done in the last minute. I mean, we are not talking about the last minute.com. We are talking about opportunity in life, mudita, believing in that. My friend in Cambridge would have recommended a strong dose of morphine to put her to sleep. Okay, we can continue tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.